in Fayetteville, North Carolina. If the Lord takes you to Fort Bragg, we have a sister church there at Fayetteville, and they are looking at a piece of property today, a church building that's empty, and that's exciting. We've been praying for them for a while, and we're excited. We know that's the next step for them. It's the next step for Brother Kim in the Korean ministry, and of course, Pastor Pedro is launching this September, and it won't be long before he'll need a building. So keep praying for our missionaries. Missions is the heartbeat of God. Luke chapter number 10, we are in our series called The Son of Man, Son of God, where we are. I'm preaching through the book of Luke. Now, each one of the Gospels were written by from a different point of view. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are referred to as the synoptics, meaning they're synonymous. They cover much of the same material and time frame of Jesus' life, where John wrote some 30 years later, and the Lord led him to put about 70, 80, maybe even as much as 90% of new material. And it's none of it conflicts. That's the beauty of the Word of God. There is no conflicts in the Word of God. It is inspired and is true even today. So Luke chapter number 10, we are going to look at what it means to be a representative of the Lord. This is so cool. So Luke chapter 10, if you didn't bring a Bible, there's one in the pew right in front of you. Or if you want to use your device, I use Takarta Bible. My wife likes YouVersion. There's 100 different Bible programs. Find one that fits you. Luke chapter 10, now I'm going to read the odds and you will read the even. So here we go. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such thing as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into what city they enter, and they receive you, each such things as are set before you, and heal the sick and that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Let us pray. Father, bless now as I speak. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would guide my words. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would touch every heart and every soul. Write these words upon us, for they are true and they are profitable. Teach us today. If there's one among us who's lost, may they trust Christ today as their Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there in the chapter 10, there are basically three scenes, three things where we get to peek in and see how things work. And each one of these scenes represents the threefold ministry of a believer in Jesus Christ. And because when people say, well, what is it that Christians do? Well, you're about to see three specific examples that basically outline the Christian life. Now, verses 1 through 24, they are going out and they're going to represent Jesus Christ. And they are the ambassadors of Christ. And then in verses 25 through 27, we see how that we're neighbors. We are looking to imitate Christ to the people around us and the way we interact with them. And then, of course, the last part of the chapter, verse 38 through 42, if you're taking notes, is the worship aspect, where we sit at the feet of Christ and we receive teaching and worship him there. Now, whether you are in the harvest field or on the highway or at home, the highest privilege and greatest joy we have is to do the will of God. And I can tell you by the authority of Scripture, God has a will for you as an individual. And you think, well, I'm just a child. No. God has a will for your life. He has something specific for you. Yes, there's the general will of God that God expects. What is it God expects out of every born-again believer? Well, you know, once you're saved, you're to be baptized. Yes, and once you're baptized, you're supposed to be a member of a church. Yes, okay, now what? Well, you're to read your Bible. Okay, Joshua 1:8. You're to pray. Luke 18:1. We're to always pray and not faint. All right? You're to read, you're to pray, you're to tithe, Malachi 3 and 1 Corinthians 16. You're to go to church, Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. And you're to witness, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Those are the foundational five of the Christian life. Every human being is supposed to read, pray, tithe, witness, and go to church. That's the first mile of Christianity. You haven't done anything for Jesus till you've done the first mile. And by the way, if you're not doing the first mile, you're not filled with the Spirit either. But we are his representatives. You know that, right? You are the ambassador of God. And an ambassador is somebody who represents a nation to another nation. And this church is the embassy. And here God's word is spoken and our king's laws are enacted. But out yonder is the foreign field. Out those doors, we are his ambassadors. And we are to present what is great and wonderful about our king. Amen. To do this, you have to trust God's motives for your life. Yeah, you do. You got to trust his motives. You got to trust his mind, what he's thinking. And you got to trust his methods. So Jesus is going to... Now, don't get confused about Luke 9, 1 through 6, where he sent the 12 out. This is a different incident. This incident here, where he sends out 70 2x2, is only recorded in the book of Luke. It's a different incident. Because these 12 went to Galilee. These 70 are going to go through Judea. See, Jesus is in the northern end of Israel, and we are over halfway through his earthly ministry. And he knows it's going to culminate at the cross of Calvary on the hill outside of Jerusalem. And he has pointed himself that way. And he said, now listen, you guys, I want you to go out like an advance team preparing the way. I wonder what these 70 people thought. I imagine, you know, it's one thing, these 12 guys over here were called apostles, so you expect him to send those guys out. And everybody else is just kind of standing around watching stuff happen, and things are good. We got to eat some leftovers from the feeding of 5,000, and all of a sudden Jesus said, okay, now you 70. What? Wait a minute. What? Wait, me? What? You kind of hide behind somebody? No, I'm talking to you. This is a picture that every Christian is an ambassador. It's not just the apostles, not just the preachers and the missionaries. It's everybody. After these things, after what? After the Mount of Transfiguration, after the feeding of the 5,000, after Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, all this is happening in Luke 9. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them 2x2 before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Their ambassadors, 2 Corinthians 5:20. The Bible says, now then, we, Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth, we are the ambassadors for Christ. Now he gives them a mandate. Look at verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now we know from Matthew 13, the world is the field, the world around us. And Philippians 2 tells us the field needs laborers. But he did not tell them, don't pray for an easier field. Pray for people to come alongside you and do the work. Because God isn't interested in spectators. God's looking for ambassadors. Laborers. If you're a born-again believer, say amen. Amen. Welcome to the Corps. You are now part of the diplomatic corps of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is his will for your life that you are his representative in this part of his vineyard. You are not forgotten. God did not misplace you in Northern Virginia like a set of car keys. He did not lose you here and forget about you. You are here for a purpose. See, one of the crazy things about Christianity is the fact that it's a relationship. It's not a bunch of rules. And in that relationship, you now have an eternal purpose, as well as an eternal identity in Christ. This is so cool. These 70 guys that have been walking around with Jesus and kind of watching what's going on, now he's like, it's your turn. Your turn. Okay? Look, God doesn't need spectators. God needs laborers. God don't need us. I should say that differently. God don't need us. God wants us. God gets done more by accident than we do on purpose, but praise God. He wants us, and we're not to pray that other people go. We're to pray that they go with us. So the problem to the field is the laborers are few. The remedy is to pray for them. Verse 3, we have a menace. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. You are invading an enemy territory, and the devil and this world has no use for anything of God. They really don't. They don't want it. I remember before I was saved, I was 23 when I trusted Christ as my Savior. I didn't care about the things of God. Didn't want to know about the things of God. What a waste of time is what I thought, but I was blind. Be aware. Be aware. This is what he's saying. Listen, you're going to face some struggle. You're lambs among wolves. You're going to have to trust me for your protection. You're going to have to trust me for your provision. But you know, the truth is, the great preacher Vance Havner once said, most Christians don't give Satan enough trouble to arouse his opposition. Brothers and sisters, we are to be reading and praying and tithing and witnessing and going to church. And that's your basic command. When you guys went to basic training, you learned the basics. You understood how things were to be done every single day. On top of that, you went to AIT and got advanced individualized training. That's called discipleship. And then you went into your MOS. And that's really how it works in God's army. It works the same way. Now, we're to be wise. He says, look, be as wise as serpents and harmless as dove. That's what Matthew 10:16 says. Why? Because, verse 3, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. All right? And then look at verse 4. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes. A purse was a bag to put money in. Okay, a scrip was a satchel, like a duffel bag or a backpack. Sandals, of course, you know, or shoes, right? The disciples were not to be cluttered up with the material things of this world. You know, I was talking to a lady this week out visiting, and she said, you know, I've been out of the military now 10 years, and now my house is full. She said, you know, every 2-3 years, the military would make me move, and I'd have to get rid of stuff. And I kept that house rather uncluttered. And now, holy cow, if I have to move, I'll have to have several trucks. I'm like, I get it. We kind of accumulate things. And Jesus is like, look, I don't need you cluttered up with the things of this world. You're on a diplomatic mission. You're to stay on mission, stay on point. These are topics or terminologies, especially you folks in the military, you understand. You have a mission. You're to stay on mission. God isn't interested in your stuff. He wants you. Look at verse 5. And into whatsoever house ye enter, say, peace be to this house. This is a message of peace. You and I live in a world full of war, and the message from our King is peace. Isn't that interesting? I will tell you, though, from verse 6, you are not responsible for what somebody does with the message you give them. Look at verse 6. And if the Son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. What does that mean? God is working on people right now, and you're not even aware of it. Yesterday, several of us went out and canvassed a new section of town within 3 miles of this church that I have never walked those streets. I've stayed so busy in other areas. We went out yesterday and handed out a whole bunch of flyers in a place I've never been, okay? And I've been praying that God would guide those gospel tracts into the hands of somebody he's been working on. See, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father in heaven draw them. And you're like, well, I was looking for God. You were looking for God because God was drawing you. Do you understand? Before I trusted Christ as my Savior, God was drawing me to the cross. God was drawing me. And that's why I felt the sting of conviction over my sin. That's how I was convinced. I was feeling that drawing. So when I was out walking those streets, just praying, I walk almost 4 miles. It's a good way to get your steps in. Can I get an amen? I go out there and put flyers on doors with the gospel. Huh? I was praying, God, let this get into the hands of somebody you're working on. You've heard the scripture say, cast not your pearls before swine. What does that mean? Don't waste your time arguing with somebody who's already chosen to reject before you ever got in to the argument. But God said his word would not come back void. So what you do is you plant that seed and let God make it take root. So he says, look, guys, if you go there and God's working on, fine, your peace will stay there. But if not, you just go on. Now, look at verse 4 again. He says, salute no man in the way, by the way. Salute no man, by the way. What is he saying? I need you to have a sense of urgency. See, in Middle Eastern culture of that time, you would meet people on the road, and there was this greeting you would give, and you would stop and shake hands. Everybody's so hospitable, and man, that could take up your time. They were not to be distracted. And it wasn't considered rude if you said, good morning, sir, but I'm on an urgent errand. And they wouldn't think you were being rude because you said, I'm on an urgent errand. This morning, I was walking through the crowd, and I didn't pay attention. Miss Brianna had her hand out to shake my hand. I walked right by her like she wasn't there. I'm like, oh, idiot. You know what I mean? I'm like, that's not what was going on here. He says, you got a sense of urgency? Just let them know on the road, hey, nice to see you. Good to meet you. May God be with you, but I got to keep moving. And the thing is we're not to be distracted by people or things. Urgency is not being rude. I need you to understand that Jesus is coming back. This world has an expiration date. And we as Christians are not to meander into all kinds of things. Look, it happens. Every time there's an election cycle, your newsfeed blows up. And so does your emotions. And so does your desire to get on there and tell people what you're thinking. The truth is, our God has a message and a mission for us to do. And you should vote. You should be involved in the political process. If you don't, you don't get the right to complain. Okay? But I want to tell you that no matter who's in the White House or in the Congress, no matter, God's still on the throne. God's still my provider. God's still the guy that makes all this happen. But as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, as a spokesman for Jesus Christ, you are to represent what Jesus Christ thinks. Isn't that what President Biden's press secretary does? She's supposed to present what he thinks. As an ambassador, when we send ambassadors over the world, what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to communicate what our leadership thinks about any given subject. As a Christian, you are to communicate what your king believes on a specific subject. Yesterday, we were out told when Brother Jim was confronted. First guy out of the chute walks up and the guy goes, I go to this church, blah, blah, blah. What's your standing on gay marriage? That's what Jim got asked. Well, my king believes this. It's in his word. Well, what's your opinion about abortion? Well, my king says this. Do you understand? Our ambassador to England, our ambassador to France, our ambassador to Indonesia, his opinions don't matter. It's what our leadership believes. Doesn't matter what I think. It's what does God say? Amen. See, that's what we're supposed to be communicating. Those issues, you say, well, what's your position on these issues? Trust me, it's what the Lord believes. This book, look, I am who this book says I am. I am what? This book says I am. I'm what gender this book says I am. Do you understand? I love you, but this is the king's message. And we are his ambassadors. They were sent out as the advance team, letting people know Jesus is coming. The Messiah is coming. You're going to get to meet him. You're going to get to see him face to face. And he said, when you go to these towns, I want you to have a sense of appreciation, not just for what God is doing for you, but that God is using these people to take care of you. Look at verse 7. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking, such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Don't waste your time moving around looking for a better deal. Whoever takes you in, make that the place you stay. Appreciate their hospitality. But also understand the culture. Look at verse 8. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. You folks in the military, you get moved around a lot. And every time you move, each installation, each post, each place has a different culture, a different vibe, a different feel, a different way of presenting the gospel, a different way of interfacing with the community. I remember moving to El Paso, Texas. I'd never been outside the state of Illinois more than just one state away, and the Lord moved us all the way to El Paso, Texas. And you know, up in Illinois, the only thing we would ever, now I'm talking pre-Taco Bell, the only thing we would ever season our food with was black pepper, salt, or onions. That was our seasoning. We didn't have anything spicy. So we moved to El Paso, and the neighbors across the street, their kids play with our kids, invited us for a birthday party, a Mexican birthday party. Have you ever been to a Mexican birthday party? I never saw a Mexican in the flesh until I was 19 years old. So I didn't know what to expect. We go over there, and they take these long dried peppers and stick them in a blender with tomato sauce and put it up into like a salsa. And you just, you just start spooning this in, right? It only burns if you stop eating. So we were just all day long because as soon as you took another chip, it would douse the flame and then it'd come back and you just, Woo! Said such things. I remember one time we were out visiting this family, and they go, would you like something to drink? And I said, just a bottle of water would be fine. My wife, and she goes, Miss Mix, what would you like? She said, anything. And she said, would you like some, it wasn't guava, it was mango juice. Mango juice. Mango juice is a big deal down there. And she said, you're right, I'd love to try some. She brings her, I am not kidding, a goblet this big full. And my wife had to sit there like this and drink that bad boy while I talked. And I'm just like, have a sense of culture. You are representing Jesus Christ to a foreign land. Don't use Christian-y sounding words. They don't know what it means. Yeah, be hospitable. Be friendly. They can be different and still be our brothers and sisters. They don't have to conform to my dress standards or my dietary standards. Come on. Think about it. You are God's representative to this foreign land. You're there to speak for him. Be sensitive to the culture. You know, I went to this home, Afghani man, and I was trained, we're Germanic people, so we're trained to clean our plate, or you're not appreciative, you don't clean plate. If you're in an Afghani home, they come over with a pot and dump another one right on top of it. I learned first time I was there, stop while you're ahead or you're going to offend them. Because they'll just keep filling up. I cleaned my plate twice, and they kept coming. And I'm like, it was great food, but I'm telling you, two big buckets of that stuff, and you're done. They not only had a method, they had a message. Look at this now. They were to heal and to preach. Look at verse number 9. Heal the sick. You understand the New Testament wasn't written yet. So what were they using for their Bible text? They were using the Old Testament. All 39 books of the Old Testament has Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for our sin pictured or as a simile or as a type or as a direct reference. All 39 books has that crimson thread of the blood of Christ running through it. And they were just picking verses out of the Old Testament and preaching messages on the Messiah because he's in the Old Testament. They were to heal. Why? Because the New Testament wasn't written. So they were to confirm the truth of the message by healing people. Heal the sick that are therein. Say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. You are not responsible for how people receive it. Now, you are responsible for the way you do it. You need to do it in love. You need to do it in love. I've walked up to people. Nobody gives me grief when I walk up to a door. I'm 6'4". I look scary. You know, I mean, I always take actually 3 or 4 steps back and get down a few steps, and I'm like this because if a woman comes around, I don't want to freak them out. You know, because I'm a big dude. But I've only had one person actually give me grief once in my 30 years or 25 years of being saved. I've only had one person give me grief. And he goes, what did God ever do for me? Well, God stopped time and space and brought one of his representatives with the truth of the free gift of the gospel to your door. Well, get that out of here. Well, remember we talked because God will remind you. And I walked away. That's how it'll be, y'all. I love you, but that's how it is. If you're sitting here today and you're here to keep your wife, her mouth shut because you came to church, or you're here to keep your parents' mouth shut because you're in church today, and you're just going to sit up straight and be nice so you don't have to put up with their grief, one day God will remind you how you heard the gospel time and time and time again, and you thumbed your nose at God, and you stepped over the slain body and the shed blood of Jesus and the prayers of your parents and stepped off into hell. That's really how it works, y'all. Had I said no on October 9th, 1990, when the gospel was presented to me, I would have tread over the blood of Christ, his slain body, and the prayers of my wife, and stepped into hell, having chosen it for myself. God had done everything possible. The kingdom of God has come nigh to you this morning. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? My brothers and sisters, this is the urgency of the hour. Jesus is coming. We are closer to judgment day than the human race has ever been. If you're paying attention to the world around us and the scripture in front of you, holy cow, he's coming. And when he comes, his reward for those who know him is in his hand. But for those who don't, the door to heaven will be shut because they have been given the opportunity and they chose. The kingdom of God came nigh and they brushed him off. And Jesus said, listen, don't take it personal. Look at verse 10. But into whatsoever city ye enter and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh you. Don't take it personally. Don't take it personally. You're just representing God. They're not dissing you. They are dissing God. Look at verse 16. He that heareth you heareth me. You have been elevated to the position of ambassador. Look at this. And he that despiseth you despiseth me. They're really mad at me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And Jesus is going to magnify their guilt right now of those that reject. Look at verse 12. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Sodom, you know why we call it sodomy? Because that's what they were known for. They're called Sodomites because they're known for that behavior. And it was in the city of Sodom when Abraham prayed and begged God not to judge him. Do you understand? It's nasty. So guess what? God says, you know what? I'll actually go easier on Sodom. Why? Look at verse 13. But woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while also repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Verse 14, but it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou Capernaum, this was like Jesus' home base. Thou Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. What is he saying? Sodom, Gomorrah, Tyre, Sidon, had they been able to see the miracles I've done like you have? Had they been able to hear the messages that I preached like Capernaum had and Chorazin had, Sodom in all its wickedness would have fell down and repented had they had that opportunity. How much worse, a sorer punishment do you think I'm going to give you when you saw it in real time and denied it? See, you got to understand, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the one that sent you. When our ambassadors are asked to leave, they're not rejecting that person. They're rejecting our president. They're rejecting us as a nation. Well, why would people do that? Why would people seeing the miracles, hearing Jesus preach, why would they deny? Because John tells us in John 3:19 that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So God's judgment is just. God's judgment is right. Now, so they go out, and they do this. And now, it doesn't say how long they were out before they regrouped with Jesus, but we're about to see a threefold rejoicing that we as Christians have because we've answered the call to be God's ambassadors. Look at verse 17. And the 70 returned with joy. They're saturated with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They exercised the kingdom authority Jesus gave them. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from him. There is true joy in serving God. There really is. That's why you're supposed to witness. Now, some people go door to door. Some people teach Sunday school and give the gospel. Some people witness in Awana and teach the kids the gospel. Other people will be witnessing this summer at Vacation Bible School. When they present the gospel to these children, that's witnessing, that's faith in you to faith in someone else, and there's such joy in doing it. It's so cool, you're missing it. But I love verse 18 because Jesus now is confirming the existence of Satan. He's living, he's alive and well on the planet today. He's only one guy in one place. He has an army, but remember, his kingdom is finite where the human race is multiplied in mushroom. He is living, he's a liar, and he's a loser. We know that from Jesus's teachings. He's a defeated foe. But the kingdom authority of Christ has been placed upon the believers. Look at verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. He's talking about the demonic realm and over all the power of the enemy. Yeah, don't go out there and play with snakes. You go out there and play with snakes, you're going to get bit. Don't say, well, pastor said I could. Don't do that. No. He's talking about the demonic realm and his imps. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's why it says in Romans 16, 20, that the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The final blow was at Calvary, and he'll be removed from the field at the end of the tribulation. See, we as Christians have no excuse for anything less than total victory. We have the Word of God in front of us and the Holy Spirit in us. And so we have the victory. We have the kingdom authority for victory. So there's not only joy in serving, we as a Christian also have joy in our salvation. Look at verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. Look, the power is not of you, it's of God. Rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. Our present reality of kingdom authority has just been confirmed. But he's like, look, there are other people doing this kind of stuff, not you. There were exorcists in the land that were using Jesus' name. And it was working. Matthew 7 tells us, not everybody who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name cast out devils? And he said, I never knew you. That's Matthew 7. He says, look, I get it. You have this rejoicing in your present authority, but look at this, verse 20. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Brothers and sisters, you know what? If we colonize Mars, it's still not the greatest human event. It's not that man put a footprint on Mars or that man put a footprint on the moon. It's that God put a footprint on the planet. That's the greatest event in human history. Your salvation has been written down in heaven, confirmed for all time, and it is still the greatest miracle of all. Our greatest glory is not what we do here in God's name. Now, I want to tell you something. It is true that only what you do for Christ outlasts this life. We're in the process of moving my office back here. I'm sharing with Brother Kim, and that's kind of more of a workroom as we hire staff, and it becomes kind of like a hoteling kind of a place. And I was digging through my files, and I found a stack of business cards. They're about that thick. And each one of them had my name on it, but each one of them had a different company and a different title. One of these days, whatever your business card says won't mean anything anymore because that's not you anymore. Now, I love the fact that you've done some cool stuff. I love the fact that you've served our country with honor, and many of you are still serving our country in other capacities, and I praise God for you. But only that which is done for Christ will outlast this life. The only thing you get to take to heaven is the person you become in Christ and the people you lead to Christ. That's it. That's all you get to take out of this. Everything else burns up. So our greatest glory is not the fact that we can command demons to leave someone. Our greatest glory is that my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, Philippians 4:3 tells us. Revelation 3:5, I will not blot out its name out of the Book of Life. It's an indelible ink that never fades. I love this country. I love this country. I would die for this country. But have you been to the archives lately? The ink on the Constitution is faded to the point where you can't barely read it at all. And you wonder why our country is so screwed up. But the truth is, your name's written in heaven in ink that never fades. God can see without having glasses. I'm telling you, never fades. Indelible for eternity. That's the greater glory that we rejoice over. I love that old song. Oh, no, the old story'll never grow old. How Jesus, I know I'm not a singer, died for save your soul. Anyway, it never grows old, guys. That's the greatest glory. And then Jesus prays. His praise to the Father, because our joy is not just in the fact that we serve and are saved, but that God is sovereign. He never forgets. Look at verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Christianity is not knowing about Jesus. It's not a set of rules and rituals and rites and ceremonies. Christianity is actually knowing God personally. That's the other thing we have joy in. Every day I can hear his voice. Every day I can talk to him. Every day he is alive and he's living and he wants to live through me. Look at verse 22. Then all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son, who the Son is, but the Father, and who the Father is. No man knoweth who the Father is, but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. I remember one of our brothers here at the church. I had been to several military chaplain meetings, and I'd seen, at the time, he was the three-star, Father Hurley. But Brother Rizzo actually knew him personally. And Brother Rizzo actually brought me in and said, here, this is my friend, Father Hurley, the three-star. Brought me right into his presence, and I got to shake hands when he pinned on that third star. That's how Jesus does you with the Father. Jesus not only has revealed you to the Father, Jesus has taken you by the hand and brought you into the very presence of the Father. And you can bow your head and talk to him at any time. And the Holy Spirit inside you knows what the Father is thinking about you. And all you got to do is ask the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, the Holy Spirit, you ought to ask him, what is it the Father wants me to praise him for today? What is it the Father wants me to do for him today? What is going on? And the Holy Spirit will tell you. You see, you were brought into the very presence of our Father by the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater glory. There's no greater joy than that. So let me ask you a question. Well, let's look. Wait, I want to stop you. I want to stop. Look at this. Verse 23. And he turned unto him, unto his disciples, and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear. Abraham saw it afar off when he saw Isaac substituted out for a lamb. He saw Calvary. When Isaac saw God pick Jacob instead of Esau, he saw salvation. When Jacob saw his son not only restored but brought to be the king over Egypt, he saw Christ. When David wrote the book of Psalms and he wrote, thou shalt not let thy Holy One see corruption, he saw the resurrection. But he didn't see it with his eyes. He saw it through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. He's saying to them, you're seeing things your patriarchs would give anything to be a part of. And as a brother and sister of Jesus Christ, a joint heir with him of the Father in heaven, with the Word of God in front of you and the Holy Spirit inside you, you're going to see things in this world that others can't. And I'm not talking about hallucinating. I'm talking about it makes sense why the world's messed up. Why is there death? Because of sin. Why is there disease? Because of sin. Whose fault is it? Ours. We were in Adam when Adam chose to sin. Whose fault is it? Is it the liquor crowd, or is it the abortion crowd, or is it the Hollywood morons? No. 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 Humanity's problem is because of humanity. It's our fault. And that's why we're responsible. We've sinned against a holy God. Now, God said, you can't come to me, so I'll come to you. You can't pay the price, but I can. And I love you so much, rather than judging you or judging you, I would rather be the one who's put on the cross. Instead of you or you, I'll die for you. That is the greatest, greatest truth of all. So are you a spectator or are you a laborer? If you're born again, then you're an ambassador. You're God's spokesperson. You're the one that represents him in all things. So what does God look like to the people around you? What does God seem like to the people around you? You're his ambassador. You're to embody everything that is wonderful about our Father. What is it they think? If you're here today and you're not sure heaven's your home, I want to encourage you to have the courage to step up and say, I'd like to trust Christ as my Savior and preacher. Come and pray with me. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You are an ambassador for Christ. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we prepare to sing, we recognize that this moment of the service is an opportunity for us to come into your very presence by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for providing us a way. Thank you for carrying us into the Father and showing us the Father and showing the Father us. And thank you for calling us to your service. The Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak and move upon every heart and soul. Show us where we are your representative, how you want to live through us. Show us, Holy Spirit, and give us that peace to know, God, that you're in charge and that we trust your methods, we trust your mind, we trust your heart and motives for us. If there's someone here today hurting for some other's area, give them the courage to come and to just pray and to seek your comfort and your guidance today in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play and sing, the altar is open. The altar is open. I'm here if you'd like to pray. Whatever your need is, we're here for you.
Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today.
Are you an ambassador or a spectator?
Wait, Jesus is calling.
You think I'm nothing? No. Christ is everything. He makes you worthy. He makes you capable. He makes you enough.
A new life is born. Jesus is calling. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Well, come to altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Our Father and our God, we are just the recipients of such blessing. And Father, for that we rejoice and praise your name. Father, we're thankful for all the blessings we enjoy on this planet, but we know the greater blessing is yet to come, and we are excited about that day when your Son will come with his reward in his hand. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.